You're listening to the Better Off Said podcast, hosted by Nikki Butler and Becca Booker. Better Off Said is a look into the real life situations of today's female millennials. From business ventures to self-care, dating with apps to parenting with screens, nothing is off limits.
While we're both 20-somethings, bloggers, and self-starters, we bring our own unique perspective to the topics we discuss as we're in two completely different stages of life. Expect to hear unfiltered conversations, expert opinions, and overall things that are just better off said.
Thanks for tuning in to the Better Off Said podcast.
We're so excited to start the conversation.
Happy Wednesday, everyone.
Happy Wednesday.
Welcome back to the Better Off Said podcast. And first and foremost, we would like to thank you guys for the great feedback and support we got for our husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend episodes last week.
We know that they're a little odd.
We apologize for anything strange that they said, but they had a great time.
Yeah, they absolutely loved it. I know Thor was like,
they loved the attention. I like posted yesterday, you know, what topics does everyone want to see on Instagram stories? And Thor responded, Thor.
More of me.
Just more of me, Thor.
As you should.
So today is going to be a fun episode because I am interviewing my co-host.
It's me,
Becca. So obviously you guys, if you already listen to this podcast, know a lot about Becca. But if we have any new listeners out there, we can introduce them to her again and then also just provide a little bit more in-depth info about one half of this podcast. So
and we'll follow up next week with me interviewing Nikki.
Yeah,
so it'll be fun to maybe get to know some things about each other that maybe her and I don't even know about each other, and you guys to learn about us too.
Yeah, so we'll start off the episode like we normally do, going over our Better Off Said moments, our life updates, and our products. So Becca, do you want to start with your Better Off Said moment?
I do. My Better Off Said moment is that something that is Better Off Said is that, like, investing in, like, the things that are slightly more sustainable is actually so much easier than I thought, and it really does pay off. For example, recently I bought a foldable drying rack. It's like bamboo. I got it on Amazon. I think it was like $40, and I can just put it out on my back patio, and I just use that instead of drying my clothes. Like, I'll still dry my clothes in I'll still dry my towels in the dryer, but I put like all my workout clothes, my jeans out on that foldable drying rack, and it dries so quick because it's so freaking hot here in Arizona. And then that way I like don't have to have my dryer on, so I'm saving energy. And then also because my dryer isn't on, my house doesn't get as like hot. Like, I feel like my house is always slightly hot when the dryer's on anyways. So it's just kind of like a win-win, and I want to continue to like make more purchases like that in the future.
Well, I know, like, when I need my hair to dry really fast or a bathing suit or something, I always just put it outside, and it dries so much faster.
You just put your hair outside.
Just take my wig off and, you know,
set it outside on the tree branch.
Well, I'll, like, go for a walk or sit in the backyard or something.
I knew what you meant.
Catch my drift.
Yes, I do.
Okay, so my Better Off Said moment is to basically never underestimate the power of your own community. So we are all influencers here, right? Like, we all have a following. Even if it's like 5 people, you still could influence 5 people. And I'm saying this because I have literally sold all of our furniture, like the stuff that we don't want in our house anymore, on Instagram stories. And it all has sold within like 10 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. And not only that, but I also get like a ton of people after like, oh, I want it. Whatever.
I also feel like you are very like you put a very affordable price. So it's like hard to say no.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. But it's also like I'm making people pick it up. Like I'm not going to go deliver.
It's less work for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like we'll just make it affordable and not like so expensive.
And it's so much easier to communicate with someone who you like kind of already know as a follower who you can like trust rather than like a random person on
like Facebook Marketplace. Yeah. So I was doing that on Facebook Marketplace, like in our old house.
Yeah.
When I had to sell stuff, that's what I would use. And that still was great. Like got a ton of offers, but people haggle a lot more on that.
Yeah.
And you also don't know like who they are. So it's a little freaky when like these random, like, I'm not even kidding. Oh my God. The last, we were moving out of that house into this one.
Yeah.
And the last people who came to like pick something up that we were selling, it was like this young couple with like a 7-year-old boy or something. And they were like super nice. They moved from San Diego. And the kid just randomly, like as they were walking out of our house, just got sick and just like puked all over our driveway.
Okay, at least it was outside.
I know. Thank God it was outside.
Oh my God. Can you imagine if that was
funny?
Like your child?
I know. And I was like, I mean, I obviously had a child, so I was more forgiving.
Kid?
I think he was like 6 or 7 or 8 or something, but he was like bouncing off the walls when they got there and like eating candy.
Oh, that would do
and
it.
So I think like literally as they walked out, he just started just trailing barf all down.
Gross.
Our
oh
driveway.
My God.
Yeah.
I actually on Friday night, so when Parker moved in, I feel like the good thing that guys always bring to the relationship when you move in together is a nicer TV.
Very true.
And so Parker brought his over, and so I got rid of mine, and I listed it Friday night for like $200 on OfferUp, immediately got a person to buy it full price, and I gave them my address, but not like the gate code or the unit number. And so then like Parker helped me walk it out to like outside of the gate. And it was literally like one of the, like the Snells from Ozarks picking up my TV.
Oh my gosh.
He's like, how am I going to know this is going to work? And I was like, well, it was plugged in. Like I had it plugged in the picture and like all this stuff. And like, he was very sketch. And I'm very glad I had him. Parker with me one and that I didn't give them my like unit number.
See, there's that too. It's like the trust factor. Mm-hmm. I feel like every time I would sell to people on Facebook Marketplace too, they'd always come like look at it like the sale wasn't done.
Oh yeah.
And I feel like through Instagram you have the trust of like your people. Like
true.
I've never gotten weird questions about stuff.
True. My mom has actually been using Facebook Marketplace recently just to like sell some, they're just like spring cleaning. And they are like people, I don't know if this is just like a Northern California thing or if everyone's doing this. They're paying her before they even see it and come pick it up.
Really?
Yeah. It's happened to her twice.
That's weird.
And like nothing like it.
How do they pay her?
Like Venmo or Square, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've like only gotten cash from people and they always like hold it hostage.
Cash.
I know, I do too. But they like wait
yeah
until they come inspect it.
Right.
So maybe it's a Northern
California
thing.
Which like that's what I would do. I don't know.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
Trustworthy.
Do you have any life updates you want to share, Nikki?
Sure. So on the note of selling furniture, we have completely like gotten shit done for our living room. So I posted what our living room looks like on Instagram stories, but we really needed like shelving on either side of the TV and fireplace because there's like these cutouts. And we didn't have good luck with the first person. It was just, it's a super difficult thing to do to like, because it's very custom because you have to fit the shelf perfectly wall to wall. And it also, we wanted floating shelves. Like I didn't want any brackets or anything,
right,
which is hard. So the guy that we did find ended up like building this like brace thing and almost like building the shelf inside of the cutout so that it's like sturdy. So it's not even technically a shelf. It's just like a wood.
Thinner pieces compiled together.
Basically. Yeah. So I don't know. They look like shelves.
Yeah.
So
it looks really good.
We're
looking at it right now.
Yeah. And so now I just have to style all that, which will be fun. And there's also no couch in my living room right now either. Becca's over here and it's very open and empty. So our new couch gets delivered any minute.
That's so exciting.
Yay. So that's what we've been doing. Just, and then I'm going to Palm Springs in like 2 weeks.
Where are you guys staying?
At the Villa Royale.
Huh. I don't know, but it sounds like a good time.
I didn't know what it was, but it's really cute. I looked it up today, actually. It's very cute. So I'm excited. I'm just like, I need a refresher. I need to get out of this house. Yeah. And I just need to like see something else. And I need more pics.
Yes. Speaking of getting out of the house, Parker and I are driving to San Diego for the 4th on Thursday, or tomorrow, I guess. And I'm a little nervous. Like, they just announced that they're closing all the bars. But, like, the beaches are still open and restaurants are still open, I believe, for takeout. So, who knows where that is going. But I'm a little nervous. And then, I don't think I told you this, Nikki, but Parker really is into, like, hiking. And he has convinced me for his birthday, which is in the middle of July, that he wants to hike the highest peak in Arizona, which is called Humphreys Peak.
In Flagstaff.
In Flagstaff.
That should be pretty and nice and cool.
Okay, yeah, but I have to hike a mountain. But it actually, I guess it's supposed to be so cold, like the last hour or like the last mile of the hike, you're above the tree line and Parker's like, pack snow gloves. Because, like,
your hands get
so cold.
See, that'll be fun. I think you'll enjoy it more than it sounds like it.
I noted that, like, walking trail that you sent me as a backup.
Yes, that's a really, really easy
okay, good
trail.
But what's cool about the trail is that JoJo can come. So we like got an Airbnb for the weekend. JoJo will join us on the hike. I've never hiked with her before, but I bought one of those like leashes that attaches at the hip so I don't have to like hold on to her the whole time.
That's smart. And she's light enough that she couldn't like drag you down.
Right. Yeah, could you imagine?
Oh my gosh. Well, we took Winnie hiking Camelback once and it got so narrow.
Wow.
That I was like, okay, you know what? She is on the verge of slipping. And if she goes, I'm going. And so we turned around like right there.
I was too.
Like, fuck this.
I'm just worried. It's like a 6 to 8 hour hike, I guess. And I don't know. I'm like, are we going to have enough water?
That's JoJo, a really long time.
Does JoJo need a first aid kit?
Wait, do you think JoJo can last that long?
I don't know. She's like a very... She goes all day at Dogtopia, but I don't know. We're going to have to pack a lot of water.
I guess you could always, like, turn around if you had to.
Yeah, which would be great.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're not JoJo. But yeah, I don't really care too much for the hike, but if anyone has any tips on long hikes and then hiking with dogs, I would appreciate that.
Okay. Into our products?
Yeah.
Okay. So my product is the Smeg water kettle. It is like the really cute one that you see. It's like electric, comes in like white, black, blue, all these cute colors. But I started drinking like instant coffee because I actually like the flavor better than like any Keurig K-Cups or anything like that. And
Is it like Folgers or whatever?
No, just the Starbucks instant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it comes in like these little packets. It's called Via.
Yeah.
So I just drink those and I think it tastes way better than any K-Cups, and I just haven't had like the balls, for lack of a better term, to like pull the trigger and buy a Nespresso. So I just got this and I absolutely love it. It heats water super fast. If you have a baby who drinks formula, you can get the one that has temperature settings and you can warm water for formula bottles. So it's multifunctional. And that's then if you're a tea drinker, I mean, obviously, can use it for that. Right. So that's mine. I'll link it in the show notes.
Love it.
What's yours?
Mine is this thing I learned about from this book I read on Korean skincare. And it's called, so they're called Italy towels, but they're Korean. And I don't know if this makes sense. The Koreans made them out of Italian fabric, so they called them, like, Italy towels. And they're really, really good like for exfoliating in the shower, one, before you apply any like tanner or self tanner, and they're also really good at removing the tanner. Like if you get any like patchy spots around your ankles or your knees, like they're kind of like sandpapery, but they're really, really great for like exfoliation on your legs and arms. And I've been using it this week leading up to the 4th because I know I'm going to be in a swimsuit this weekend and on the beach, and I want to have smooth legs. And they're like $5 for a pack of like 4. And you can get them on Amazon. Super cheap. They last forever. Highly recommend them.
Okay. Shall we dive in?
Yes.
To learn more about Becca?
We will preface this by saying I don't know what the questions are.
Yeah, I did not brief her on any of the questions. So first and foremost, how are you feeling going into this? Are you nervous? Are you scared? Are you excited?
I'm a little nervous, but I don't think you would throw me any major curveballs. And I can always make you edit it out.
That's true.
I'm ready.
Okay. So first, tell us about your morning today. Describe it for us. What did you do?
Oh, okay. So I woke up around 7:45. I showered last night because I worked out last night. So all I had to do this morning was I like did that hair waver tool or like that hair crimper.
Yeah, it looks cute.
Thank you. I know. Just kidding. And Parker wakes up before me and like works out, and he had like made a cup of coffee. So I like got that while I did my hair. And then like I started doing my makeup, and when I finished with that, Parker, he actually made me breakfast. Actually, he has been typically making me breakfast. I usually do dinners and he does breakfast. And then I had breakfast with him, and I hate to say it, I guess I don't really have much of a morning routine right now.
I don't either.
I take my vitamins and finish my coffee, and then I get to work.
That's good.
And I work from home right now, so.
Yeah, my routine's been not there. I feel like for a while, at the beginning of quarantine, I was like nailing it. And
yeah.
And now I'm not.
Yeah. And like sometimes I wake up earlier and I'll like go enjoy my coffee on the patio, even though it's so hot. I'll do it for like 5 minutes before I get too hot.
Yeah.
And then come inside, or like I technically get notified from the Calm app, like the meditation app, at like 7:30 to meditate. But a lot of times I sleep through it.
Yeah.
But like I just don't put pressure on myself. If I'm tired, I have the luxury to sleep in right now because I can work from home.
Yeah.
And I don't have a child.
Lucky you.
It's a good time to not have a child.
Yeah, it is a good time to not have a child.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's start with high school. Did you have any weird fashion trend that you immersed yourself in?
I don't know if this was like a Northern California thing, but it was very, very popular to wear Miss Me bell-bottom jeans. Yep. With like Vans, either the slip-ons or like the tie-ups. I don't know what style they were called. With a college hoodie.
Really?
Yeah. Because it rains a lot in Northern California. Okay. So like it was cool to wear like the college sweatshirt that you eventually wanted to go to.
Yeah.
But other than that.
That's funny.
I'm trying to think of anything weird that I really took on. I was like, I wore super basic stuff in college. I think I experimented more with fashion in middle school.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Beyond your like, years.
And then I just like gave up, I guess. I don't know. Like middle school, I almost dipped into the like scene a little bit. Like
okay.
Colorful clips, yep. Like neon green flats with skinny jeans.
It's like scene / emo, but like the scene was like, yes, the colorful version of emo.
Yeah.
I did that shit.
But then high school, I also though. Like, I remember I just had this flashback the other day. I like got called into the principal's office because my shorts were too short and they were like pinstripe white and blue, like super preppy, that I was wearing with blue and white etnies. And I remember calling my mom because I got in trouble and she had to bring me a pair of shorts.
Oh my God. That's so funny. Because
I like didn't, normally you would like change it to your gym shorts, right?
Yeah.
For some reason I like didn't have that.
They always gave us like shirts because I remember that happened to me once too.
Wait a minute. Or is my flashback my period leaked through my shorts?
Oh my God. That happened to me too.
Oh my God. It's so traumatizing when that happened.
It happened to me in seventh grade when I first got my period. Oof. So I had nothing.
Yeah,
and I was wearing like, do you remember
how traumatizing
it was? So traumatizing. And I have to tell this story, but like I was wearing, do you remember like Abercrombie used to have like the kind of like tennis like skorts, and it was like a fabric.
Yes.
And,
yes.
But it was shorts, but like appeared as a skirt. So I was wearing a white one.
Oh no.
And I remember I was in like my English class and she was showing us something on the projector or whatever it was called. What was that thing called?
Yeah. The projector. Projector.
Okay. And like half the class was sitting on the floor and half was sitting so in the desks. So they all
saw you when you stood?
And I was sitting in a desk and the other half of the class that was sitting on the floor in front of the desks, like, saw everything.
Traumatizing.
And because I didn't even know what was happening. And I literally just went to the bathroom and it was like a murder scene.
Did you like feel it when you first got your period?
I didn't feel like any cramping or like pain. Which is why I think I went such a longer amount of time without knowing.
Yeah.
But I think like I started to feel it get like wet. And that's when I went to the bathroom and I called my mom crying my eyes out.
I didn't. Okay. I remember. Okay. Now we're going into when we remember first getting our periods. I think I was like 12 or 13. And I was like in my parents' den on the computer with my friend Taylor Swinfer. And I don't know what we were doing on the computer, probably like customizing our MySpace profiles or like something really dumb.
Yeah.
And I like got up to go to the bathroom and I like had no idea that like I wasn't feeling anything, didn't feel like I feel like all the like American Girl doll books that teach you about period, they're like they tell you you'll know when you get it. Do you remember reading that? And I was like, I had no idea.
I do. Yeah. And it wasn't like it at all.
No.
Like, it's weird because I get the most painful periods now.
Oh, really?
And my last since one having bad. A child, because I used to not.
But because it's I used like, to not have a child.
I used to not. Because
I used to not.
I used to not have painful periods.
Oh.
But I guess that's true, too.
Oh, I'm dying.
But, yeah. And, like, I didn't, nothing hurt at all. Like, I wasn't in pain. I had no freaking idea.
Well, okay, I remember going to the bathroom, and I didn't want my friend to know, and I remember I was wearing, okay, I was like 12 or 13, and I remember I was wearing my favorite pair of pink limited two underwear. Like, how yes. did I still have that? Like, I must have been wearing those, like, I must have had those for like 5 years, you know?
Were you in middle school too?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, me too.
It was like 7th or 8th grade.
Yeah,
I think it was 7th
grade.
And I just folded up some toilet paper and put it in my underwear.
Just called it a day.
And just pretended. I was like, I was probably so paranoid and so awkward the rest of the time my friend was over.
Yeah.
Like trying to, I don't even know. Cause like, it was just like shocking. You're like, oh my God, I'm a woman.
Well, it's weird. You like don't know what to do.
And you don't know like if it's going to leak through.
Yeah. Mine was like.
Yeah. Oh, I guess bad. Nikki knew if it was going to leak through.
My shorts were no longer white. They were red.
Fuck.
It was so bad. I stayed in the bathroom until my mom came and brought me new Aww. Clothes. I was like, I'm not leaving.
And then you have to walk back in. Excuse me. You have to walk back into class just like in new clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everyone knows. They're yeah. like, oh, okay. Ugh. Okay. So did you wear an ASU sweatshirt with this outfit?
I did not. I didn't even want to go to ASU until it was like, did you like have a college advisor or like a someone who helped you like through the college application process?
No.
I had one. Like there was this one woman who a lot of kids from my high school used, and she would like help you with your essays and like read them over, and then like you would tell her what colleges you want to go to, and she would map out like, okay, here are your shoe-ins, like you'll definitely get into these. I would also recommend you apply to these like in the middle, which you'll probably get into, and then here are like your reach schools. And so And I remember she like wanted you apply to like 3 in each category, and ASU was like in the middle, and I hadn't heard of it, or at least I hadn't heard of Barrett.
Oh, okay, okay.
And I was like, but she like had tons of great things to say about it. I knew a girl from my that was Winnie.
Wow, she just snorted.
But I bought a sweatshirt after I committed.
Okay,
yeah,
got it.
And then I wore it.
So why ASU?
I actually got a better scholarship to go to ASU than to like stay in California. So okay. One, it was cheaper. And then two, since I got into the honors college, it was like, there were just like a lot of perks that came with that. Like you get smaller class sizes and like your core classes. And then you can also register for or you can like sign up for classes the same day like athletes do, like first priority.
Oh, nice.
So like there, and like also the Barrett dorms were like a year or two old, like everything was really new. So that's really why. I also knew I wanted to go to business school, and I wanted a school that had a football team.
Yeah.
And like, sure. Even though I don't really care for football, it was just, but like,
it's like, it changes the environment.
Yeah. It was just like part of the school spirit or something.
Experience. And
Yeah, exactly. So that's why.
So what was the craziest night out you had in college, if you remember?
If I remember. Hold on, I have to think about this. Okay, I was pretty, so I was an RA my sophomore year, and then I was like technically the RA for my sorority my junior year, which was like kind of a joke. Okay. But because of that, I had to be really careful about getting caught with like underage drinking.
Oh.
So I don't remember too much. Like, my crazy year was my senior year. God, I need to remember my craziest night.
I mean, if you knew my brother, there's for sure something in there.
Oh, wait. Okay. I have a story.
Okay. That helped.
Oh, my God. Mother, if you're listening, don't judge me for this. So, it was my sophomore year. I was kind of dating a boy, and our sorority and fraternity had a midnight together.
Okay.
And I got very drunk. And so did he. And on the bus on the way home, he threw up, like, on himself.
Cute.
And afterwards, I still kissed him.
That's sick.
And so, okay, and keep in mind, God. This is my sophomore year when I was an RA. And he lived off campus. So, like, after that, I, like, walked him back to my dorm to rinse him off. And I lived in, like, it's hard to explain, but, like, the RA rooms, you had, like, your own bathroom, your own shower. The bathroom, like, had its own door. It was, like, a single suite. And so, like, I put him in the bathroom. I turned the shower on. And then, like, I was just, like, hanging out in my room. And he randomly runs out of the bathroom, runs out of my room in a towel. He must have been, like, on some sort of drug. And I was, like, so confused. And, like, I could hear that, like, some of my residents were, like, out in the hallway. And I could hear them laughing.
Oh, my God.
And, like, they obviously saw him come out of my room.
Oh, they did.
And so I was, like, looking out of the, what is it called? Like, the peephole in the dorm to see, like, I was, like, waiting for them to leave. before I, like, chased after him. And, like, by the time I got downstairs, he was gone. I had no idea where he went.
What the hell?
I don't even remember if he had his phone.
Did he talk to you after this night?
Yes.
Okay.
And he, like, apologized, but he actually spent that night in jail because
he was probably naked on the street.
So he was naked in the street, and he was trying to get back into his apartment, and he didn't have his keys or anything. He was, like, trying to hop the gate to his apartment complex, and someone called the cops on him. Oh, and he spent the night in jail.
Wow.
And I'm sad to admit it, but we dated for a little bit after that.
Wow.
What
a great first impression.
Great story. Yeah. But
I can't believe you kissed him.
I can't believe I kissed him. I know. That's what we take away from this. You kissed him after he threw up.
So gross.
Oh my
so
God. Gross. That's pretty good.
Thanks.
Okay. So what's your bitchiest moment?
In high school?
In college.
I mean college. Or I guess it could be high school. What's a bitchiest moment of yours that you remember?
I don't remember. This isn't necessarily bitchy, but it was definitely like conniving. And same. Do you remember when like, okay, not to brag, but I was like, I feel like I was the first person in a sorority to like do the sorority photo shoot and like capitalize on like doing a recruitment video and like all that stuff. And I submitted what was that? Is it TFM that people would submit their
total frat move?
Yeah.
Well, it was TSM for sororities.
Yeah. Maybe it was that. I don't remember, but
I think it was
guys would. Or at least this is what it would get you to think. Like, fraternity guys would send pictures or videos of, like, hot sororities into TFM and submit them and be like, you have to see this.
You know who did do a lot of stuff on this was Daniel.
Who?
That comedian.
Oh, Tosh.
Daniel Tosh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So maybe that too. I don't know.
He actually spoke or came to ASU and like did stand up. But I wrote in and submitted my own sorority pretending like I was a guy. Oh my God. And I remember like someone, she was the one being a bitch. She like called me out in the did your sorority have a Facebook group?
Yes. Yeah, we did.
And she like called me out saying it was super obvious that someone in the sorority submitted it and that she knew it was me. And I was like, what the fuck? We're on TFM. Or
wait, I remember TFM? Like when I think I was a senior or had like just graduated or something. And I remember seeing these videos come out and I was like, why the fuck didn't we do that?
Yeah.
And like we didn't really, everyone had Instagram. Like Instagram came out when I was a junior.
Oh, okay.
How crazy is that?
That is crazy.
And there was
it came
Uber.
Out right before I was a freshman. So, like, I came into ASU.
Yeah.
Like, just so, like, started it.
Everyone had it at that point, but no one really used it because they didn't really know what it was. So, like, our sorority didn't really have...
Right, you didn't know what to, like, to do with it.
Like, an Instagram or any... Yeah, it was crazy. Everyone thought it was, like, an editing app.
Yeah.
And not a social
like,
network.
Just to put a filter on it.
Yeah.
Do you remember Jimmy Tatro?
Yeah.
Was no, he your age?
Yeah, he was a year younger.
Okay.
And so we were all like friends with him.
So his friend, you might have met him, Kyle Herbert.
That sounds really familiar.
He was like our Omega Man or whatever.
Okay, okay.
Like our sorority's sweetheart or yeah, whatever yeah. you call it. And he filmed it for us. I like reached out to him and had him do our first video.
Wait, that's cool.
And now I feel like he does lots of video stuff that's way cooler.
I know. Like Jimmy totally... He killed that whole fraternity.
Oh,
like
yeah, and he that, like rode the road to fame really well. Like he was smart about marketing himself
for sure.
I actually saw him when he came to Tempe and did like stand up or Tempe Improv. Is that what it's called?
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know he does stand up.
I don't know if he still does.
But I don't know that that's his thing, but. Maybe stick with the YouTube videos.
I honestly
and the movies.
Remember the guy who opened for him was hilarious. Don't remember too much about Jimmy.
That's not a good thing.
Yeah.
But we love you, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Okay. So how many friends are you still friends with from high school and college?
Okay. High school, legit, like one.
Same.
Like who I communicate with regularly.
Yes. Yeah, same.
Francine, shout out.
Yeah. Emma.
And she was like
out.
One of my best friends like since kindergarten.
Yeah. That's how me and my friend Emma are. She really? Just got engaged. She just FaceTimed me
wow.
this past week. She's the only person.
Wow.
But college, you're still like friends with a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, I lived with like some of my college, like they were my roommates up until like this past year.
Okay.
Yeah. But like I was weird because like I joined my sorority as a sophomore.
Okay.
So I feel like whenever that happens, it's definitely hard to like enter the circle because like the friendships have already been made, so like it was definitely harder to like make friends with other sophomores. But a lot of my friends were like still in my pledge class, so they're like a year younger.
Yeah,
definitely closer with like my college friends than most of my high school friends.
So am I, for sure. And it's because of the sorority, I think.
Yeah,
too. But like, what are your thoughts now on making new friends now that we're in adulthood? Post-college.
This might sound bad, but I like haven't had to like look for friends.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like I Same. Totally get like I'm on Bumble BFF and like I like a lot of people on there, they have just moved or like I feel like a lot of them were not in sororities. And what was great about like going to ASU, being in a sorority, staying in like the Phoenix area after graduation was like you just have friends who
yeah.
live here, you know?
Yeah.
And so I have never really had to like go find friends.
That's good. So did you ever use the Bumble BFF app to go on like friend dates?
So yes, but then it's usually people who I like already kind of knew.
Okay.
Does that make sense? And then it was like, oh, let's be friends.
I was always curious to know how that works because I did not have the courage
to
do that.
Yeah.
But
it's definitely like the majority of people are people who are new to Phoenix.
Yeah.
And they just like are looking for a group of friends.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel like since I became a mom too, that really like introduced me to a lot of people.
I noticed after you had Cannon, I was like jealous. I was like, I feel like she's meeting so many people.
Yeah.
And I like can't come hang out because they're all moms.
Oh my gosh, you totally could. Well, a lot of it was through like the Emerald, which I don't even know what's happening with that anymore, but that's a moms networking group here in Phoenix. And they welcomed dog moms as well. So
they shared a picture of me with JoJo when
they did. Opened. I remember that. I know, but like I did that, and that I feel like really like opened the door a lot for me. But so it's like funny. I have like my mom friends and then my college friends, and then like
I have like my post college friends.
Yeah.
Like even Kelly from the Lifestyle Co.
Yeah.
Like her and I were friends in college. Like we knew each other, but we never hung out. And then now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Like I thought you guys were like,
we really had close. Like a really good mutual friend, Audrey Lopez.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so like we always like saw each other, but like I talk to her now more than I did in college.
That's awesome.
Like one of those examples.
I love when that happens.
Yeah.
That actually happened too with me and my maid of honor. Like we went to college together and I knew her because of Thor, because they were in the same.
Who is your maid of honor?
Paige Hansen.
Oh, I don't know.
She's going to, or I'm going to Palm Springs with her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But like her and I became a lot closer after we graduated.
Got it.
So it was kind of funny. But yeah. Okay, so I just wanted to touch on that topic because I feel like it's something people want to hear about.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you were a child, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Ooh. Okay, I remember in first grade, I wanted to be a Olympic figure skater because that was the year Michelle Kwan took fucking gold.
In the Olympics. Yeah.
And I thought she was so cool.
She was cool. And Tara Lipinski.
Yeah.
Was that the same year?
I think Tara was older.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too.
But my mom enrolled me in like figure skating classes and I passed level one and then didn't pass level two.
So I did figure skating too.
It was fun.
It was fun. I did it because my family was a huge hockey family and both my brothers played hockey.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And Ryan played like
hockey is so big in Arizona.
It's huge out here. Yeah. I don't know why. It's kind of funny, but I guess it's a cool place to like go, but
and I feel like so many people are here from the Midwest, so like it's just in there in Canada.
True. That's very true. So yeah, he played like travel too. So literally, we were always at the rink, and I was like, okay, well, I'm bored.
This is Ryan.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like, I'm bored, just like sitting here having to go to all these practices and games. Like, I'm gonna do something while I'm here. So.
Well.
But it didn't last very long.
Yeah, mine didn't either.
I kind of wish it did. It was fun.
Then I spent a brief moment wanting to be a doctor in high school. Oh, I talked about this in the episode where we interviewed Chelsea the nurse.
You did, about your
how
camp.
I like went to summer camp.
Yeah.
To learn funny. About what it's like to be a doctor. And then I took away from that camp that I did not want to be a doctor. And then I like got involved in like, do you guys call it ASB in high school or like leadership, like student government?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, we have student government. I'm trying to think if they like called it anything, but I don't know.
Okay, well, I got involved in that and I was like, I loved like coming up with slogans for like t-shirts. So I like knew I was going to get into like advertising or communications or something.
That's but cool.
Those are the only like two career paths I remember really pursuing.
So then you actually ended up getting into social media, as we all know. And you first worked for Blogettes. Was that your first and only job?
No.
Were you employed? No,
because you worked at Target for a minute.
That's right. And then you worked at U-Haul too, right?
Yeah. So I interned at U-Haul. Okay. So I like had a bunch of like various marketing or PR related internships in high or in college. Not all of them were social media related, but I like always came back to the social media ones. Like those are my favorite. But then for some reason I took a job out of high school out of college at Target. Had nothing to do with social media.
Really, what'd you do?
My title was executive team lead of guest experience. And I took it because like it's a great company, 401k. I feel like business schools, like
they drill that in your head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they want you to work for like a big company because it looks good on their stats. And so I was like, oh, this is perfect. This is what I want to do. Hated it. I didn't last like 3 months. And so I quit. I didn't have a job lined up. Blogettes had just closed a job that they were like looking to hire. And I had a friend who was interning there, and I asked if she thought I could like still submit an application, and she said I could. I got the interview, I got it. I started like a month later, and then, but that was part-time. And then I started working part-time at like a small social media agency the other days I wasn't at Blogettes.
Yeah.
So I was like basically working full-time, but just at two different jobs.
Got it.
Yeah.
Tell us about the leap you took going from being employed to self-employed.
Okay. So maybe like a year or so after I'd been at Blogettes, my boss asked me to start helping manage her Instagram account. And she just like, it was a payment I was given like monthly, like I would invoice her.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't included in my salary or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a separate project between her and I. And she was like, Becca, you should really like create an LLC just like to protect yourself. Like, if this is something like you're going to do. And so I did. So that was like, honestly great, because right off the bat I already had like my LLC formed, my name, and like I was already getting used to like sending invoices and like managing a client.
Yeah.
And I had a client who I'd already been working with at the time who was just like really small, who I like, I want to say they literally paid me like $300 a month to do like four posts on their Instagram a week, and I was managing their Pinterest. Like I was totally undercharging them.
Yeah.
But they, I had them for a long time probably because I was undercharging myself. And then, so I think I started my LLC in like March of 2017. And over that summer, I took a, like, it definitely was an investment. I paid $800 to take a course on how to run Instagram or Facebook ads and Instagram ads. And it was just something I knew that would like help me at work. I like figured it would be a skill I could then like monetize and offer like to other clients. And that one, it also just like gave me a lot of confidence. Like I was like, I know how to do this. It was like way before it was a common skill to like know how to do. And I was just like getting less and less happy at work, and I just knew, like, I just started like speaking into existence, like, okay, I'm gonna like quit my job.
And that actually works.
And it worked. And like, because I was saying that and like I was telling people what I wanted to do, people were like, oh, I know a girl who does social media, you should reach out. So I like was able to line up two other clients before I put in my 2 weeks.
Amazing.
And then when I put in my 2 weeks, I was able to negotiate like having Blogettes keep me as a contract worker just to run their ads.
Nice.
So it was great. I never had a month where I made less than I did while I was fully employed.
That's amazing.
But it was definitely like, it was nice because it was like a long runway. Like I had did lots of things like in the months or like years leading up to it. It wasn't just like it happened overnight.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's awesome.
Oh, and at the same time, I should mention, like, I had already started blogging at this point, and I was, like, and that helped me to, like, build my own audience. And I feel like this was, like, 2017, when it was easier to build an audience from that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so it just kind of made sense. Then, like, all my followers knew I was going off on my own, and, like, I don't know.
So, yeah, you just got the word out.
Yeah.
I know. I feel like people are so afraid of that. Like, I know
it was really scary.
I feel like I was always like told to do the 401k job and have health benefits. And it always just sounded so scary to like have control of my own job.
Yeah.
And so it never like literally entered my mind to do that until, quite honestly, when I started at Dames Collective.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
That's crazy.
Seriously, I was like programmed.
Like, I think society just kind of tells us to do that.
Yeah. And, that's the right thing. Like college does too, for sure. Definitely. You know? So, okay. So then how did you come up with the name Homemade Social?
Oh.
I always picture you like in your kitchen.
Cooking
up one of your quesadillas, but it's actually like a caption.
One of my quesadillas. I mean, that was like kind of the idea behind it. I
love it.
I was honestly just like looking through brands who like I loved and I trusted. And one that stuck out to me was like Magnolia, the
yeah,
like Chip and Joanna Gaines.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? I was just like listing out words that like I liked about what their stuff felt like, and like homemade was one of them. And I was like, that actually applies to social media really well, because sometimes social media can seem really like robotic.
For sure.
And I wanted to have like a more personal touch to our like content. So homemade, social it was.
I love it. I think it's great. And I just really think you need to do a brand shoot where you're
with cookies
cooking in the kitchen.
Or quesadilla.
But you're cooking up a phone or something.
Cute.
Okay, so you also recently bought a home, which we all know because you've talked about it, and it is an amazing home. I admire about you that you have this like very business-minded, like take the step forward for yourself kind of mentality.
You. One thing my dad was really good about teaching me that stuff, like financial literacy and like how to open an IRA account.
That's like that really sort good. Of stuff. Yeah. See, that's good. That stuff I'm like illiterate in, or I was. Like I know a little bit more now. That shit is
it's dumb hard that they don't teach it in school.
It's so dumb. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I really wish they taught that. So can you describe what steps you took to save up and purchase your new home?
Okay. So I started, so like the account I bought my house with, it was my individual like investment account, like one that you can pull from like anytime. There's no like, it's not like your Roth IRA where you have to,
where you get like penalties.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like, that was the account I knew I was going to like try and grow and invest in. And so when I finally came on Blogettes full time, I like my living expenses haven't always been pretty low. Like I had 3 roommates for 2 years when I got out of college, and then I had another roommate, and like my rent was never more like, I think at my first place, my rent started at like $550 a month.
Oh my God. That's
and then it went
so
up to like
cheap.
600. Like it was so cheap.
That is so cheap.
And so like that, and I came out of college with like $8,000 in student loans. So like I first paid that off.
Yeah.
And then I put every, like once I was at Blogettes with my full-time salary, I was like at a point where I was like, okay, I can start investing and like putting aside money for like retirement and stuff. And so like my dad got me on the phone with his guy at like Schwab, and who like really didn't do much. He was just more so like answering my questions. And then my dad kind of taught me like what to look for in like a mutual fund that is gonna show you a high return. Like you look at like the 1 year return, the 5 year return.
This is amazing that your dad like
he's
taught you
great.
All this.
And he like, I'm sure it's so outdated because he always tells me to go to like Yahoo Finance.
Yeah.
Which like I'm sure is like so,
hey, that's still like a pretty good media outlet.
Yeah. But I don't know, like, but that's like the one I'm used to like reading.
Yeah.
Which like it's not like I check this very frequently. Like
yeah.
We're young enough to where I don't have to like be moving money around, and I can be invested pretty like
aggressively.
And so like every time I would even get like a pay raise, I would increase that contribution I was making to that account, even if it was like an extra $20 a month. But like it was always automatic, so that way I couldn't think about it. And like if I got a Christmas bonus, I would like put half of it into that account, and then the other half like I would spend or whatever. So I was always like really good about investing that. And then like since I had it in mutual funds or like other trading accounts, it grew, which was great. And like the past couple of years in the stock market have been pretty good anyways. So, but this last year I was like, okay, maybe it's time I start looking to get a house. And I met with one of my friends, Krista. She goes to Body and she's a financial planner, but more so for like older people. And she was like, just make sure that you have like 6 months of like bare minimum expenses saved on top of like what your down payment would be. That way, like if anything is to happen, you have your down payment and then you have still have like money to fall back on.
I mean, the down payment's like the big one.
Down payment, yeah. But like I feel like you don't have to put down as much as you would think. But then on top of your down payment, there's like closing fees. And
yeah.
Closing fees at least like $5,000.
Yeah, those are so expensive.
Yeah.
But like you can also negotiate those
right.
too. So if you can find a realtor who, you know, is willing to Well, haggle. I guess that's, yeah, willing to like help you haggle that stuff. Or like you can find a realtor who might, if you already have a house to sell and you're buying, tell them, hey, like we'll give, or can you take like 3% on the sell of our house, but then only like 1% on the buy, or right. vice versa. I don't remember. Smart. So like you can negotiate stuff like that too.
Right. And like, I think I remember I also was able to like buy down my interest rate, like 0.5% on my loan by putting down like an extra grand or something. So yeah. I did that. But I also bought the house knowing like I was going to have a roommate for a while. Like, and I was comfortable with that. But I also was like, okay, if worse comes to worse, I can afford this. Like if I have to on yeah. my own.
And I think that that's important to like yeah, just in weigh. Case. Yeah, for sure. And there's just like so many different loans that you can get. Yeah. Like it's like researching that and like what works best for you.
Exactly.
Yeah. So moving on from the home.
Okay.
Give us your POV on marriage and kids. Do you have a traditional outlook? Or have you always wanted to get married? Or, you know.
I've always wanted to get married. I also have always wanted to live with my significant other before marriage. And I read that book, The Defining Decade. Did you ever read that?
No, but you told me about okay. this book and I really want to read it.
It, like, part of it goes into, like, setting yourself up. Or it's, like, how your 20s are, like, so important for the rest of your life, like, how you spend them.
Yeah.
And the first part is, like, all professional, like, advice. And I was, like, okay, like, I'm doing this. I'm in the field I want. I'm in the career I want. Like, we're doing good. And the second half was all about, like, divorce rates and fertility rates. And, like, oh, how God. Divorce rate is higher if you live with your significant other before you get married. Yeah. And, like, I remember calling my mom crying because I always thought I wanted that, and like obviously I still do. Parker and I live together and we yeah. are married. But like it definitely, I didn't realize that there could be consequences to moving in with someone before, like that either. Would affect you long term.
Yeah,
like I thought it was like just an easy test, you know, like yeah. see how this works out.
I know.
And then I do want kids. I've always said that I want two, and that in a perfect world, I would have twins and then be done.
God bless you. I don't know that I could do twins.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Only because of like, well, first of all, I mean, I just wouldn't. You're more likely to get stretch marks, obviously, because you're just bigger. You have two babies.
Oh, yeah.
And like juggling two babies on each boob sounds like
hell.
It just even like the maneuvering, like the positioning sounds really hard. Like there were so many times with Cannon, I was like, my arms were like octopus arms. I couldn't figure it out. And like, I don't know. It's hard. Yeah. So, well, careful what you wish for.
Yeah. Knock on wood. In any case, it'd be great if I had two.
Okay. I mean, I like agree with that because I'm like dreading getting pregnant again.
Really?
Only be not that I like didn't like being pregnant. It's not that at all. It's just that like it is such a long chunk of time out of your life that you're like, I don't know, you just don't feel like, well, there's that, but you just don't like feel like yourself. Mm-hmm. And like I remember it felt so good once I hit 6 months. I started to feel like myself again.
6 months of pregnancy or 6 months postpartum?
Postpartum. Mm. And then a year postpartum, I was like back to normal. So like it takes that long.
It's like 2 years of your life.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like going through that big stretch of time of like just being like all hormonal and out of whack. Yeah.
And then like it sounds so hard to raise a infant when you already have a small child. But like you, yes. I feel like you want them to be kind of close in age.
For sure.
So I don't know. It's like a double-edged sword.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I had to take pregnancy tests the other day.
How we doing?
I was a little scared. I think we're good.
That's good.
I think we're in the clear. But I was, the reality hit for a minute and I was like, oh, fuck. So is Parker religious?
No.
Okay. So I wanted to talk to you about this because we've talked about it before. And are you religious?
No.
Me either.
Oh, yes. We have had this conversation.
Yeah. And that's why I want to talk to you about it. Because, yeah. I mean, I know you're not supposed to talk about religion, but
it's better off said.
It's better off said. And I like segueing into that because I always think about like, how do you envision like raising your kids? And I grew up super Catholic. but like did not have a good experience with it because I always just felt like so judged and like pressured, and it didn't feel like the free, welcoming, forgiving community space. Yeah, that I thought that it was supposed to be. That
isn't said. Catholicism like kind of known for that?
It's guilt. Ancient. It's just like an ancient religion that you're like trying to relate your modern day life to like these old world like excerpts and like
just like outdated
lessons. And I don't know. It's just, I just really didn't like feeling like judged.
Yeah.
And it was like, this feels like the complete opposite of what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Which is why I like was slowly gravitating away from it. And it was just interesting how I met Thor, who also was not religious. And I was like, what are the chances of this? Because I feel like everybody has some sort of like,
that's so funny you
religious
say that.
Background.
Because when I saw Parker's like dating profile, it said he went to LMU. Like Loyola Marymount, which is...
Yeah.
Wait, no. No, no, no. That's
SMU.
Not where he went. No. Point Loma.
Oh, okay.
PLU? Point Loma Blue. University. He went to Point Loma in San Diego, and I remember thinking, like everything else on his profile I really liked. He seems really funny, but I was like, I hope he's not too religious, because I'm definitely not.
Yeah.
And he wasn't.
And it's because it, like, seeps into your future.
Yeah, exactly.
And I remember, like, thinking with Thor, like, oh, this is such a relief. Like, we don't really have to talk about any
how
religious
you're gonna navigate
things. Yeah. And, like, really my...
And are his parents religious?
No.
Okay, yeah. That's a nice deal.
Yeah. But, yeah. but it's... I just think, like... raise like nice people
exactly.
who care about people
exactly.
who are kind.
And like, I have nothing against religion or religious people. Like,
yeah, no.
Growing up, I never remember going to church with my parents. Like, we would go, like my friend Francine was like in the choir at her church, which was actually my preschool. Like, I went to a religious preschool.
Yeah.
But like, I only really remember going to church like to see like a friend, or if I spent the night at a friend's and their family was going to church in the morning, like I would tag along. And like, so like I went to church every now and then and like was exposed to it, but like I just never like clicked with me.
Yeah, same.
And I always felt like I had a sense of community. Like, I feel like a lot of people join church for like the community aspect, and I felt I never had that like desire.
Yeah, same. I hear that too. Like, people are always like, well, like, you should join the church, especially like a lot of the Christians that I know, they join for the community. And like, I've been to Christian churches before, the ones that have like really, really great bands and like it's awesome music, but even then it still is just not, that's not like the community that I'm like craving.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. And I don't know, it's kind of like food.
It's also,
some people
it
like
feels like,
food.
It's almost like the analogy I was making with like my sorority, how I joined late. Like, when you go to a church and you're not a member and like you don't know much about religion, you feel very like out of place.
And like,
you don't know
isolated.
The songs, you don't know like anything.
For sure.
So it's not like an easy
transition.
Way. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for sure. I'm with you. I just think it's like, it's for some people and it's not for some people.
Yeah.
It's definitely not something I think is for everyone.
Yeah.
So I remember you told me that and I was like, wow, that is refreshing.
Yes.
I feel like I just don't meet other people who have the same like views very often.
It's so true.
Yeah.
I do feel though that like, as we get older, more friends are becoming less religious rather than more.
I agree. People are becoming more like spiritual with like the mindset of like just be a nice person and be kind.
Right.
Glad we can agree on that.
Yes.
Okay. So only a couple more questions and then I have one more thing that I want to go into. But tell us one thing about yourself that we all might not know.
One thing a lot of people who are listening to this podcast might not know about me is I have two older sisters. And they are 41 and 43. They are my full blood sisters. We have a 14 and 12 or 14 and 16 year gap. And I was definitely an accident.
Oopsie.
But because of that, like, my parents are also much older. Like, my dad is 71 and my mom is like 66. And I just feel like I don't really share I remember about
you,
them.
Yeah, you told me that once and I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, I thought you were an only child.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, like, I basically was raised like one because they were so much older.
Yeah.
But yeah, people are usually interested. Like, the only time people really see them is when I'm home at Christmas or something.
Yeah. Well, one of them lives in Hong Kong, so
yeah,
that's a little...
so it's hard to show her.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's one thing a lot of people don't know about me who, like, didn't grow up with me.
Yeah. Me and you, when we first met, really bonded over Game of Thrones. So I
should have known this was coming.
We are doing a Game of Thrones quiz right
Stop.
Now.
Okay.
Okay. Question number one. At the beginning of the series, how many children do Ned and Catelyn Stark have?
Oh, wow. And do you have, like, the answers in front of you?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to say 6, 7.
5. 6. 5.
Okay.
6. 5.
I meant to say 5.
Rob, Sansa, Arya, Bran, and Rickon.
Rickon.
Yep.
Oh, poor guy. He was murdered pretty easily.
Really sad. Really sad. Okay. Who was the first character in the series to be called King of the North?
Rob? Or, like, the great Rob Stark? The older one? The dad?
Ned.
Oh, Ned.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't realize how I forgot everyone's name.
No, you were right.
It is Rob?
Yeah, it was Rob.
Oh, okay.
So they never did call Ned Stark the King of the North, I guess.
Okay. He was always like the assistant. You know what I mean? To the king.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. The hand of the king.
Yeah, like he hadn't fallen yet.
That's right. You're right. Because I don't think that they had that name for the King of the North yet. Like, he wasn't actually called that. Okay, which of these Westeros couples is a couple off-screen as well? I picked some easier ones because I knew we'd be, like, a little rusty.
Okay.
Richard Madden and Una Chaplin. No idea who that is.
I don't know either.
Emilia Clarke and Michael Huseman. Nikolai Coster-Waldau and Lena Headey. Oh, that's Jaime and
Cersei.
Or Kit Harington and Rose Leslie.
Kit Harington and Rose Leslie.
Yep. They got married.
I really if you hadn't like listed them out, I wouldn't have remembered that. Like, this is bringing back lots of...
I just
haven't thought about these people in a really long time.
I know. It's so sad.
Yeah.
I really want to watch it again.
Me too.
Which cast member has also played a Disney character? A. Emilia Clarke. B. Natalie Dormer. C. Richard Madden. D. Lena Headey. Richard Madden is Rob.
Yeah.
Lena is Cersei.
I want to say the Dorman girl, Natalie Dorman.
I think so too. Oh no, Richard Madden. He played Prince Charming in Cinderella.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
He was also in that movie, which is, like, honestly my guilty pleasure. It's on Netflix and it's called Ibiza.
Oh, I haven't seen that. Yeah, he was in that.
Uh-huh. He's like the DJ who they go to Ibiza to see.
I think he's attractive.
I literally kind of love that movie, and everyone who I've shown it to doesn't like it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'll watch it.
It's just like a young, fun comedy. It's like a single girl's version of Bridesmaids.
I feel like Zac Efron would be in that movie.
No, he's too cool.
Okay.
It's like a less cool cast.
Okay. Let's do two more.
Okay.
What is the name of Arya's direwolf? A. Nymeria. B. Lady. C. Grey Wind. D. Ghost.
Nymeria.
Yes. I think you're right.
Yay.
Is this like a quiz online that you're like walking me through?
Is that these are like in your like Google Doc notes?
I was going to do that. And then I was like, well, if I put the... Oh, wait, no, yeah. But I was going to do that. And then I was like... I don't really feel like copying and pasting all this. I'll just link to the Pop Sugar quiz. Who is Sansa Stark's first fiance? A. Tyrion. B. Joffrey. C. Loras Tyrell. Or D. Tommen Baratheon. Do you need me to repeat?
I think it's Tommen. Or is it Joffrey? I don't remember.
It's
one of them dies and then she just gets handed over to the other, right?
It's Joffrey.
Joffrey.
Yeah.
Was she engaged to Tommen?
No, she was engaged after Joffrey. Mm-hmm. She was engaged to Tyrion. Remember?
Yeah. But then wasn't she engaged to the guy who was eaten by dogs? Or was she just tortured by him?
Oh, that is... That's not Tommen. That's...
Yeah, what's his name? Terrible guy.
Terrible guy. He's actually terrifying.
But weren't they engaged?
Yes, they were. What is his name?
Then where did his engagement fall in?
I guess
after Tyrion?
After Tyrion. Because she was like older and like kind of like badass.
Okay.
When she was engaged to Tyrion. What is his name?
Ramsay.
Ramsay. Yeah. Yep. That's Ramsay it.
Something.
I miss Game of Thrones, you guys.
Status on Wikipedia. Deceased.
Okay. Wikipedia. It's like a Bible for
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
I bet you, like, if you had to read the Spark Notes, it would be so long.
Oh, yeah. The Spark Notes would, like, you would need Spark Notes.
Yes.
Like, Spark Notes of the Spark Notes.
Wait, is it gameofthrones.fandom.com?
Yeah. That's where I would go to get all of my information. And that's where I would go to look at the maps.
You sound like one of those kids who's, like, trading game cards.
That's where I would get my information. That's, like, borderline what I was about to do. I would, like, look at all the maps and be like, oh, my God. It makes so much more sense now. Yeah. And it's true.
My friend read the books, which, like, I don't think I'll ever get to that point.
I would love to, but I think it will just take so much time.
I hear that it's very... hard to follow. Is this the book I'm thinking? It's like
A Song
it's
of Fire
told
and
from
Ice.
Someone's point of view, and then they like tell it from another point of view, but it starts at a different time. Is that how the Game of Thrones book works?
Good question. It could. I wonder if like seeing the whole series would help.
Yeah.
But I actually that makes sense because I feel like it tells the story of like Targaryens.
Mm.
Before like Game of Thrones starts, like the show.
Mm.
So I feel like the book tells that story before the show.
Are they still working on like a prequel or a...
I think so.
Postquel? I don't know what that's called.
I think it's a prequel.
Okay. I think I'm really excited for that.
Was it a movie or was it a series? I think it is an HBO series. But I think there's different writers for it, which who knows if that's even going to be.
Let's see if there's going to come out with one. Game of Thrones prequel House of the Dragon gets the green light. Mm. It'll be on HBO.
Is it written by the same people, do you know?
The new series will take place 300 years before the events of Thrones.
Wow.
Literally, I would pay money to be able to watch that show from the beginning again.
I would.
If you have not watched
to
it.
To like erase your mind yes. and rewatch it again.
That's why I like...
Oh my God, I wish.
I need to like wait a couple more years before I rewatch it so that I can be like kind of fresh. Like, or it feels like it's new.
Yeah. I honestly just want to turn it on right now. I love it so much. Well, Becca, that is all I've got for you today.
Thank you. That was a really good interview.
Was it good?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
You touched on things I wouldn't have thought to touch on.
So good. I'm glad. I hope you all learned something about Becca today. I sure did.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Better Offside podcast.
Be sure to check out our show notes for links to find our guests, their business, and any other products we might have mentioned.
Don't forget to subscribe
and please rate and review on Apple Podcasts.